Please be seated. As you take your seats, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. You will find this on one of the inserts in your bulletin if you don't have your Bible with you tonight. We're going to look at one of Jesus' healings here in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, a passage that's this was not intentionally planned, ties in pretty well with what we looked at this morning, certainly ties in well with the Lord's Supper. And then the plan is for next Sunday evening for us to begin our new evening sermon series on the identity of God. Remember, I announced that a couple of weeks ago. So that will start, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. As usual, there is an outline in the bulletin. And for those of you at home, the outline's been emailed and also posted on Facebook. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and like I said, we'll read Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. This is the word of our God. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to all of our hearts this evening. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Out of all the passages of Scripture, some of my absolute favorite ones to read are the healings of Jesus. And the reason I love reading about the healings of Jesus, like this passage here in Matthew 8 with the leper, is because in the healings of Jesus, you don't just read words about the nature and the heart of Christ, but you actually see the nature and heart of Christ on display, right there in the picture in front of you. And that is, as you look at the healings, yes, you see his power. And I think we often are drawn to seeing his power, that Jesus is able to cleanse the leper. I'm not able to cleanse the leper. You're not able to cleanse the leper. So we see his power. And that's a great encouragement to us. But also, as we look at the healings of Jesus, what else do we see? Well, we see Jesus' great sympathy towards those who are in utter need. Right? We see Jesus' incredible gentleness towards those who are broken. And we see Jesus' eager willingness to come to the aid of sinful people and to give us the help that we need. And so when you think of the healings of Jesus in that way, we understand then that here we see these are not just examples of something that Jesus did do in the past or could have done in the past, but really these are also examples we need to understand of what Jesus does in the present. Right? Because his character is the same. His heart is the same. This is the same Jesus we are worshiping. This is the same Jesus who ministers to us today. And namely, we see that this is what Jesus does for us in the present for our souls. J.C. Ryle, I'm sorry, this is not on the back of your outline, but J.C. Ryle says about the healings of Jesus, he says, "We should regard every one of these miracles as an emblem and figure of spiritual things. We should see in them a lovely picture of what he is able to do for your souls." And I think that's exactly right. Right? And so as we think of the healing of the leper tonight, we need to understand that here we also see the work of our great Savior towards all of us who believe. Because what we'll see tonight is that we all, while we may not have physical leprosy, are just like this man in the passage. We are unclean before God. And yet Jesus Christ has come into this world to make us clean instead. And so the main point I want us to see tonight then from these verses is that since Jesus cleanses the unclean, you as a believer need to give thanks to God. And you need to seek his continued cleansing in your life. That's the main point I want us to see. Since Jesus cleanses the unclean, give thanks to him and seek his continued cleansing in your life. Well, let's look now at our first point, which is as a sinner, you are an unclean leper by nature. And going back to the passage, verses 1 and 2, Matthew tells us When he, that's Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you look in your Bibles here, Matthew 5 to 7, which is right before this passage, of course, is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so as we look at the beginning of our passage, we have Jesus. He's just finished this great sermon, and now he's coming down from the mountain, Matthew tells us, and there are crowds of people following our Savior. And in the crowd of people, of course, we find this man who had leprosy. Now, in the Bible, leprosy is, in the Old Testament, leprosy is often used to speak of various kinds of skin irritations and skin diseases, many of which were milder than full-blown leprosy. But I think that the man we're looking at in our passage tonight was a man who actually had the real disease. And as you may know, leprosy was a terrible thing to have, just as it still is a terrible thing to have today. Primarily, your skin was affected, and so it would leave lesions on your body. Also, your voice would sometimes be affected, so you would sound funny. You have these lesions, you sound funny, and it also would affect your peripheral nerves. And so this is why people with leprosy often have deformed hands and feet. In fact, in many cases, it seems like your extremities waste away. They're not actually falling off, but they're kind of going in as if you've lost your fingers and you've lost your toes. And to make it worse, while we can actually cure leprosy today, that wasn't the case back in Jesus' day. This was typically, if you had the full-blown disease, of course, this was something you would have for the rest of your life. So as a leper, that helps us understand, here is a man who was sick, right? Here is a man who was deformed. Right? If you looked at him, you could tell he had the signs of leprosy on him. But what's more we need to understand, here was a man who was unclean. Here was a man who was unclean. And so look on the back of your outline at Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. Here we read, Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, Unclean! Unclean! He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. So let's think about what we're told here. The Old Testament is saying that in the ceremonial system of old, to have leprosy made you unclean before the Lord. And lest you made anyone else unclean, you always had to go around announcing to the world that you were unclean. But there's actually some interesting parallels here with COVID, right? If you've been exposed, you've got to tell the world. If you have it, you've got to tell the world. If you had leprosy, you had to tell everyone, which, of course, would have been a very embarrassing thing to have to do, right? The disease was already bad enough. Now you've got to make it known to everybody around you. But no doubt the worst part of being ceremonially unclean is that you were separated from others. Did you know that in India today there are actual leper colonies? Last I checked, there are about 1,000 of these leper colonies, and that is, they're little places where lepers have gone to live all by themselves. And what's interesting today in India with these colonies is that the vast majority of the people who live in them do not actually still have leprosy, right? But they have the signs of leprosy on their bodies still. So they've got the scars, they maybe still have deformed hands and feet, and so what has happened is that restaurants won't serve them. Right? They won't be able to get jobs. Their families will cast them out of the family. And so, simply because they have the signs of leprosy, they're forced to be cut off from the rest of the world. And so they've decided to find a way to live together and make the most out of the situation. But what we have to understand is that lepers in Jesus' day were also cut off from others. Right? For one, you were cut off from your family and friends. Now, we just read in Leviticus, if you had leprosy, you had to go live outside of the camp and dwell all by yourself. So if dad got leprosy, he left mom and all the kids at home in the camp, and dad went off to his own little tent outside of the encampment of Israel. And he lived there as long as he had leprosy. Right? So that was obviously a challenge. But not only that, you were cut off from the gracious presence of God if you had leprosy. Because as long as you were outside the camp, you were not allowed to come back inside the camp. And that's where the tabernacle was. And that's where the temple was. So here we have the leper is sick, the leper is deformed, the leper is also unclean, and he's cut off. Right? He's cut off from other people, and he's cut off from the Lord. This is the man who came to meet Jesus in our passage. And this is the man, friends, who reveals our spiritual condition to us. Because as sinners, we are all lepers by nature. Now, of course, as I said earlier, we don't have physical leprosy, but we are spiritually sick, the Bible tells us, right? Our hearts are not what they should be. Our lives are not what they should be. We are deformed spiritually. We are crooked. Thus, Scripture says we are also unclean and cut off. And on our own, this is who we are. We're unrighteous by nature. We're children deserving of God's wrath. And to make it worse, like the leper, there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. Okay? So this is our condition, right? We can have pity on this man. This man is us, spiritually speaking. Right? Yet, thankfully, and this brings us to our second point on the outline, we need to understand that Jesus can cleanse us of our leprosy. And so let's look now at verses 2 and 3. Matthew goes on, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." So here we see the leper, as he came to Jesus, came with a proposition. "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And that's really the question that's in his mind. Jesus, are you willing to cleanse me? Or are you not willing to cleanse me? Right? And that actually may be your question at times too. But we see the clear answer given to us in Jesus' response. He said unequivocally, "I am willing." Right? And that, I just want us to think about that for a second, because what does that tell us about the heart of Christ? Right? It tells us that he is inclined in his heart to do what this man wanted. He even wanted to do what this man wanted. And through his answer to the man, we're to understand that this is his heart towards us today as well. As Jesus considers your uncleanness and my uncleanness, his heart is drawn towards us in sympathy. Right? He wants to solve our problem. But the bigger question is, are you able to cleanse me, Jesus? Because while he might desire to cleanse me, that of course does not necessarily mean that he can actually do it. You know, so far it's been estimated that 1.5 million people have died of the coronavirus worldwide since its beginning. Now, how you figure out those numbers, set that aside for the time being. But the point is, many people have died. And of course, we understand this is because there is no cure for it. Now, there's talks of the vaccine coming out. Hopefully the vaccine will bring about much help to people. But we understand, right, we're living in the midst of a virus in the world that nobody can cure. Right? Doctors are working constantly trying to come up with new therapies and new solutions. Scientists are working constantly trying to do the same thing. And yet there's still no cure. Right? So we desire the cure. We're working for the cure. But right now we lack the ability to cure. And if you think about it, that happens all the time with human beings, doesn't it? Right? We want something. We want a lot of things. And yet we don't have the ability to actually carry out those things. And yet here we see so wonderfully that that's never the case with Jesus. As the second person of the Trinity, there's nothing he desires that he's not also able to do for us. And that's clear here in the encounter, isn't it? Because Jesus does not just say, "I am willing." He also says, "Be cleansed," and the man is cleansed. So here we have the man. And what happens? The sickness is healed. I think most likely the deformities were removed. He's clean. What's more, his fellowship is restored. He can go back to his family. If he has a family, he can go back into the camp. And most of all, of course, he can go back to the tabernacle or temple. His fellowship with the Lord was restored. And if you look here at verse 4, Jesus, you'll notice, told the man to go to the priest and show himself to the priest. And this is because, you know, when you were healed of your leprosy, the priest was always the one who would declare you to be clean. And when the priest declared you to be clean, that is when you finally could go back into the camp. Right, so as you think of your own spiritual leprosy, right, we have to understand this evening that Jesus is willing to cleanse you, which is amazing in and of itself, but also Jesus is able to cleanse you. And so just like this man, he can deal with your spiritual leprosy. Right? He can bring you back to the Lord. He can restore you. He can make you whole again. He can change you. He can remove sin from you. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, speaking of Christ, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Right, so Jesus can do for us spiritually what he did for this man physically. The only thing is we need to come to him in faith for that to happen. Right? And if you look again here at verse 2, is that not what the man with leprosy did? Right, he saw Jesus, he believed in the power of Jesus, and so in turn he came to Jesus. In other words, he wasn't healed because he was somehow better than others. He was healed because he believed Jesus could heal him if he wanted to. And so I want to ask you tonight, in light of that, similarly to what I asked you this morning, have you come to Jesus in faith and asked him to cleanse you of all your sin? Do you believe that he is able to cleanse you of every single one of your iniquities? And that he's more than willing to do so. Boys and girls, have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and asked for his forgiveness of your sins? This encounter really is a good reminder for us, isn't it? Because it reminds us, right, coming to church cannot save us. Right? Reading our Bibles cannot save us. Living a moral life cannot save us. But Jesus Christ can save us and cleanse us. And he is certainly willing to do so when we come to him in faith. And what's more, if you have come to him in faith, and this encounter is a reminder to you of the cleansing that you already have, that Jesus, while you still have sin remaining in you, has washed you, as we talked this morning, has forgiven you, has made you righteous in him, and so you'll never be condemned. So we need to understand, this is the wonderful blessing of the gospel. Jesus can make you clean. You have a big problem, but Jesus can solve that problem for you. And through faith in him, he has made you clean. And I want you to see now, thirdly on the outline, that Jesus did this willingly for you when he died on the cross. And Jesus did this willingly for you when he died on the cross. And going back to verse 4, when Jesus healed the leper. Again, remember, he told the man, go to the priest, show yourself to the priest. And that is because, as I said, the priest is the one who would declare the leper to be clean. But if you look again, there was another reason why the man was to go to the priest. It was to offer the gift that Moses commanded. Right? Which is a reference here to all of the sacrifices that had to be offered before the man could be declared clean. And so if you look on your outline, you'll see one gigantic cross-reference from the book of Leviticus. I realize I don't ever typically give you such long cross-references. I'm not going to read all, 20 of those verses tonight, but you have them there. But I want to read many of these verses in Leviticus 14, 1 to 20, because I think it's helpful to really get the sense of what had to happen for a leper to be declared clean in Israel. So I'll start here at Leviticus 14 and verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Skip down to verse 12. Right? And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering, in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And skip down to verse 19. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. Now, there's a lot in that passage, but just think about this for a second. This was an incredibly bloody ordeal. Right? You've got multiple animals being killed. You've got the blood of the animals being sprinkled, and actually being sprinkled on the people, right? On the leper himself who was to be cleansed. So it's a mess of blood and dead animals. And yet that's exactly what was required. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no atonement for sin. And that's the way for an unclean man to be made clean. He has to be cleansed always and only by the blood of another. And you see, the same thing is true for us with our spiritual leprosy. Good works don't do the trick. No, blood has to be shed. It's always how it is. Blood has to be shed. And of course, the blood that is shed, thankfully, is the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who came to be slain for our sins. You see, to cleanse us from our sins, Jesus did two things for us, at least two things for us. Right? First, we understand that Jesus took our sins upon himself. If you look again here at verse 3, this is actually, I think, my favorite part of the passage here. What did Jesus do? He put out his hand and he touched the leper. No one would have ever done that. Right? This now meant Jesus was unclean. Right? That Jesus had the leprosy, so to speak. No one would have done this. This is why you had to declare unclean, unclean, because people would always want to stay away from you. And yet for the cleansing to occur, this is what had to happen. Jesus had to touch the leper and take the leprosy from him. And of course, that's what Christ has done for us, to cleanse us of our sins. He's touched us, so to speak, taken our sins from us, laid them on himself as he died on the cross. Again, it reminds me of the coronavirus, right? Right now, everyone's so afraid of contracting the virus. And so we wear our masks and we stay far away from one another and we let people know if we're sick or if we think we have been sick because we don't want to get what the other person has. Right? In a lot of ways, that's exactly how people interacted with leprosy in Jesus' day. They stayed away from these people lest they become lepers too. And yet that's not what Jesus did at all. But he came for us, and he willingly contracted the virus straight from us, so to speak, to give us the healing that we need from it. And that is, he didn't avoid our sins, but he took our sins upon himself. And secondly, having taken our leprosy upon himself, he shed his blood as the sacrifice for our atonement. He let the enemies nail him to the cross. He endured the righteous indignation of the Father, and he died. As we read earlier from Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So just as bloody sacrifices had to be offered for the leper to be cleansed, so the bloody sacrifice of Jesus also had to be offered for us to be cleansed. And thanks be to God, we see here, Jesus did that oh, so willingly for us. Instead of letting us die the death of a leper, he graciously exchanged his blessing for our curse so that we could be healed by him. And is that not what we're going to be reminded of in the supper tonight? Jesus' body was broken and Jesus' blood was shed for us. Why? So that we could be brought to God. and have life with Him. And so as we come to our fourth and final point on the outline tonight, I want you to see that we need to give thanks to Christ. And we need to seek His continued cleansing in our life. If you look again at the passage, of course, we're not told here that this leper gave thanks to Christ for his cleansing. But, and you may have thought of this passage already, we do know from elsewhere in Scripture that a healed leper was most certainly to thank the Lord for the healing. Now, you think of Luke chapter 17, where Jesus healed 10 lepers, and they all went out, and how many of them came back to say thank you? 1 out of the 10. And as Jesus said in that story, right, that man did the right thing in what all of the others should have done, and he rebuked the others for not doing it. And I trust it's an obvious thing for us as well. And if you've been miraculously healed by the Savior, you should thank the Savior. And if you're a believer in Christ, you've been miraculously healed by the Savior tonight. And so we should be thankful. And that is, you understand, one of the main reasons why you should come to worship faithfully, regularly. It's one of the main reasons why you should be in the Word of God, why you should live in prayer. It's one of the main reasons why you should fight against sin and so forth. It's because you're grateful that you've been given a wonderful healing by a wonderful Savior. And so I'll ask you tonight, are you thankful? Are you thankful in your heart of hearts for that great, powerful, and merciful working of Jesus in your life? Washing all your sins away from you. If you're thankful, let it be evident in all that you do, tonight and in the future. But I think another appropriate response to Christ's cleansing is also to keep coming back for more of His cleansing. Yeah, because as I've already said a bit, and as I said this morning, while we are forgiven and righteous in Christ, of course, sin still remains in our lives. And so even though we've been cleansed, we also now still, in a sense, need to be cleansed. Right? We need that daily forgiveness of our sins. We need that daily sanctification and growth in holiness. We need to be made every day more and more like Jesus in our heart and in our conduct. When I was a kid, my least favorite time of day was bath time. I wonder if any of you kids are like that today. I really don't know why, but that was the worst. I hated it. Whenever mom said it was bath time, shower time, I was running away. Boys and girls, don't follow my example in that. Right? But I hated that time of the day. And so you boys and girls understand that was wrong for me to do. Right? But it was also just downright foolish, wasn't it? And you kids will know what I'm talking about here as well, because I hate to tell you, but you kids get a little sweaty at times, don't you? And you get a little dirty at times. And you get a little sticky at times, right? And stuff gets in your hair, especially when you're young. You older kids are looking at me like I'm crazy. But, right, you get dirty, right? We all get dirty. So if there's anything I needed as a kid every day, it was a bath. It was a shower. It was some kind of cleansing. The same thing is true for us as Christians. We get dirty every single day. We may not be physically dirty, but we're certainly spiritually dirty as we disobey God, as we sin against Him. And so even though we have been cleansed in Christ, we need that daily cleansing from Him. And you see, that's also why we should come to worship faithfully and regularly. That's also why we should live in the Word and live in prayer. And that's also why we should celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight with faith in Christ and with a great desire to be changed by Christ. So as we come to the table tonight, I encourage you to come with Matthew 8, 1-4 in your mind, remembering that you by nature are the unclean spiritual leper. And yet thankfully, Jesus Christ, by faith in Him, has cleansed you of that leprosy. And He did so willingly when He shed His blood for you on the cross. And as you remember that, give thanks to Him and seek His continued cleansing, even in this sacrament tonight. Let's pray. Our gracious and almighty Savior, we thank You for this passage. Lord, that You would reach out and touch this leper is beyond us. But how thankful we are. I'm sure that leper was absolutely astounded that You even looked at him, let alone touched him and healed him. And yet, Lord, that's what you have done for us spiritually. You've touched us, you've taken our sins, and you've washed us, and you've brought us to God. We thank you for that. Lord, continue to cleanse us even of our daily sins as we come to the supper. Remove sin from us, sanctify us, purify us. Shape us more and more into the likeness of Christ. Even this evening we pray.
Thanks.
In Jesus' name, amen.